How do you feel about the changes to the retirement age? Workers around the country are groaning at the prospect of keeping on doing what they're doing for an extra 2 years. This is because fairly shortly, the age at which you can get the pension will move from 65 to 67. This was John Burns on AM. He's a 62-year-old construction worker.
There was about 30 of us sort of sat in the same shed at Smoggle, and it was the big subject. Now, there's me and a couple of guys around about the same age as me, and there was a bit of black humour. Like, we said, oh, well, we're lucky we escaped on that. We're right in a couple of years. But the guys around about in their early 50s, mid-50s, when it sort of sunk in, they weren't happy, you know, and I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all.
It's not just the physical effects of two more years of work that will be felt. There are other ramifications, and to outline them, I'm joined by Peter Whiteford, who until last year was a social policy analyst with the OECD in Paris. He's now a professor at the Social Policy Research Centre at the University of New South Wales. He's with me in the studio. Welcome to Life Matters, Peter.
Good morning, Richard. Thank you.
Now, this has to happen, doesn't it?
Well, the populations throughout the world are ageing, and the baby boom generation is going to start reaching 65 in a year or so. Well, a couple of years, 2011. So the number of people over 65 is going to start increasing rapidly. So it is proposed by most governments and organisations like the OECD.
We're not the first country in the world to move on it, are we?
No. In general terms, countries throughout the world, OECD countries, have been increasing their pension age over the last couple of decades, and a number of other countries have announced increases to 67 or 68 as well.
Yes. Well, Britain is going further, isn't it? I heard James Purnell, who's the Work and Pensions Secretary, on Radio National Breakfast this morning. They are going to 68, but they're taking longer to bring it in. Now, why don't we do that?
Well, if you take longer, if I think it's about 2040 when they're starting,
something like that, it does seem a long way off.
Yeah, well, it's sort of it's almost like saying, well, we'll do it sometime in the future, and not have an impact more immediately. So you have a bigger impact on the affordability of pensions and also the adequacy of people's incomes in retirement if you do it earlier.
How much of us doing it relatively soon, I think the age starts to creep up from 2017, is because of the pension rate itself, which is going up?
Well, I mean, I think there's pretty clearly an explicit trade-off that the government's decided they are quite significant increases in, particularly in the single rate of pension, but also in the couple rate of pension, and liberalisations of how much you can pension you can receive while you're working will be going on. So it is contributing to paying for the cost of that as well.
So once you turn 67. Once we go through all this, you will get a higher pension. And after two more years in the workforce, more super, presumably, as well.
Yeah, you'll accumulate, if you're making the compulsory, or if your employer's making the compulsory superannuation contributions, you'll get that plus whatever, you know, returns you get on your super contributions in those extra years.
Do you think there will be new rules on super eligibility to go along with the changes to the pension age?
Well, the report that the
Ken Henry report
has recommended that. I noticed that the government didn't go ahead with all of the recommendations on pensions that the report that Treasury put out mentioned. So that Treasury wanted the eligibility age for veterans' pensions to go up, and that's not happening. But it's logical. If the government wants to have the effect of raising the effective age of retirement, then raising superannuation preservation age is a logical thing to do. But that'll take even longer, though. I don't think they're at the moment. The preservation age is rising from 55 to 60, and it doesn't reach 60 till 2024.
Why is it important that these two things sort of happen roughly together?
Well, the problem, of course, is if you want to both get people to stay in the labour force longer and also save money on pensions, if they're able to retire on superannuation earlier, then run down their super, they'll then still be able to claim, you know, sort of, well, they'll be able to claim more of the pension than they might otherwise have. So it makes sense, you know, if you as super becomes more important over time, that it have roughly the same age of eligibility as the pension.
Yes. On Life Matters today, I should say, my guest is Professor Peter Whiteford. He's at the Social Policy Research Centre at the University of New South Wales. He spent, just before that, 8 years with the OECD in Paris. We are talking about the changes to the pension age, the pension rate as well. I'll come to that. One of the things that occurs is that there might be a shift of people onto the disability pension. We heard earlier that clip from the AM program, John Burns. If they don't feel, him and his workmates, if they don't feel they can keep going until 67 because the back's playing up or whatever, and he had a litany of things that have been going wrong, mightn't he and people like him end up on disability?
Certainly, and you'd expect it. I mean, at the moment, when people turn 65, even if they've already been on a disability pension, they have to transfer to the age pension. So you're not eligible for a disability pension after the age of 65 now. So there will automatically be, you know, some increase in the numbers on disability pension simply as people who are already on the payment continue. And also people who aren't eligible for age pension but, you know, do have disabilities. So there'll be some offsetting impact. But the question is, you know, what proportion of the total population will be able to stay in work? So even if it's not as... Yeah, I don't think anybody's predicting or projecting that everybody will work till 67, because not everybody works till 65 now, you know, sort of... But you'll increase the effective age of retirement, and the proposal will probably increase the proportion of people who are working past 65.
With almost every policy change, there's always some unintended consequences. If you lose your job at 61 or 62... and the retirement age isn't until 67, in all likelihood, you may not get a job between then and when you would normally retire.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we need to do as we prepare for 2023 and later as the you know, when the higher pension eligibility age comes in, we have to think about how you support older workers and people with disabilities in the workforce more. So there hasn't been much of within the budget, there hasn't been much discussion about that. But I think we do very carefully need to consider how to probably stronger anti-discrimination laws, policies to improve workplaces for older workers and people with disabilities. So there are lots of other positive things that we need to do to make sure this policy is both effective and helpful for the people
involved.
It'll
basically need a raft of accompanying regulations.
I would think so, yeah. I think, you know, sort of certainly, you know, as you say, if you lose your job in your early 60s and you've got some health problems, then you're going to have difficulties getting back into the labour market.
You are.
But I think it's really important to plan for that now, to sort of think about the policies and programs that can help people in those situations either stay in their jobs or help them get new jobs, including through retraining.
Because some jobs are easier to keep going in than others, aren't they? I mean, if you have a physical ailment, and we tend towards more physical problems as we get older, then that is of greater import if you do a physical job than if you sit at a desk.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll expect to see people who come from lower paid occupations or low paid work to have higher levels of disability than people who have better paid jobs. The gap in Australia doesn't seem quite so wide as it does in the UK or the US from the figures I've seen, but there is a gap. You know, if you look at people aged between 60 and 69, something like about I think a roughly half of those who come from the lowest, who have the lowest levels of income, have a disability, compared to about 25% of people who come from the highest income group.
It sounds like there's lots to do in terms of the raft of accompanying changes that will have to come in.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, I think, you know, looking at the services and supports that are required, as well as just changing pensions and superannuation, is very important. But we've got time for that, to prepare for that.
Now, women's retirement age has already been changing quite dramatically from 60 to 65. Now they'll have to wait another 2 years as well?
They'll be treated exactly the same as men. in that. I think that the pension age for women will reach 65 in about, I think it's in 2013, so just before the general changes then start to take effect. So it's about, the women's pension age at the moment is about 63 and a half, or it rises 6 months every couple of years, which is what's going to happen with the general pension age. So they'll reach 65, and then women will continue to be treated the same as men.
Yeah, this so much, it occurs to me, depends on your job and exactly, kind of roughly, how old you are now, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you're over 57 or so now, I think it's 57, you won't be affected by these changes. But if you're under 57, then you'll be affected to a minor extent. I mean, for me, my eligibility age is going to go up by 6 months. But if you're under the age of 50, you'll be probably fully affected by this change.
I'm 45. And I would be astonished if there is any meaningful pension for me when it comes to that age. I suspect it feels like there is not going to be, and that it's going to be, there'll be a, basically, well, if you've got this much super, you're not getting a pension.
Well, I mean, the pension system, you know, so if you do, you people are, it depends on how good your super is, obviously. Mm. If you've got a good super, then you won't be eligible for age pension. But if you're a single person, the point at which your other income cuts you out from pensions, I think, going to go to about $38,000 or something like that, because they're tightening the income test a bit. And for a couple, it's going to be higher than that. So so you'd have to have a reasonably, by relative standards, a reasonably good pension to not have... reasonably good super not to have any pension. But most people are going to continue to get a part pension. The proportion, what's going to happen with as super matures is that more people are going to get a part pension. But the proportion of the age population who are going to get some pension is only going to decline by a very small amount.
Right. Okay. Peter, thank you for coming in today. I think you have shone some light on what is a very complicated area for us.
Thank you.
That's Professor Peter Whiteford, who's at the Social Policy Research Centre in the University of New South Wales. Keen to hear from you on this. If you're affected by the change to the pension age, get in touch, abc.net.au/rn/lifematters. That's where you can jump on the guest book or send us an email or give us a ring on 02 833 1430. That's our listener line. This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National.